Amen. It's true. Yeah. No matter how much despair you could ever be in, God's always faithful. Please take your Bible, turn to Psalm 69. The Bible says in Psalm 69, to the chief musician upon Shoshanim, a psalm of David. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God that gives us instruction, helps us, especially in times of great despair and sorrow. As we go through this psalm, we've seen what can happen, what you want to do, how we should respond. I pray, Lord, today that you would again teach us and help us to see there is a way out of despair, a way to deal with it, but it must be the Bible way. It can't be our way. There are not good things that we can do. We must depend, as we've read here this morning, upon your loving kindness and upon your goodness. I pray, God, that you'd give us ability to understand. Give me help by the Holy Spirit, as I am not equal to the task of making known these truths and driving them home. Only your Spirit can do that. I pray, Lord, that you would give us help and help us to see these truths in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We started the study here in Psalm 69 with the truth that you cannot remove despair from your life unless you're certain that you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You know that you're saved. If you died right now, you would go to heaven, not because of what you've done or what you will do, but because of who God is and what Jesus did and how he completed that on the cross, how he rose again from the dead, and you have believed what the Bible said. You've called upon the name of the Lord, admitting you were a sinner, Jesus Christ is the only Savior, and that without him, you would go to hell. That's basically what you have to come to that realization that you fully believe that God took care of your sin and gave a Savior for that sin. And we see the Savior in this psalm over and over. But primarily, this psalm is dealing with what a person who is in that relationship with God, how they deal with despair. Now, despair is a deep hopelessness that comes upon people at times. The words that are used here are, I think, very appropriate for what it's speaking, the deep mire, the deep waters. He uses those over and over. The water floods we read, the waters come over my soul. There was a trouble. David was dealing with a trouble, and that whatever this trouble was, it's been associated when Absalom came in to Jerusalem. Certainly, it speaks of that. But there were other times that David was in deep despair when he and his men came back and found their families gone and their city sacked, and the men wanted to stone him. And the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. So there's something that we can gain from this. The first thing is that you have to cry out to the right comforter. And we saw that in verses 1 through 5. And then last Sunday night, we looked at this in verses 6 through 12, that others need to see the comfort. They need to see God working in you, not just the problem. And David prays that very specifically there in verses 6 through 12, that others that were watching would not see this, and then he would bring reproach upon God for his response. And we talked about our response being different than the world, not being in a hopeless situation all the time. We deal with hopelessness in such odd ways in our Christian life. Some people flee. They leave God. They stop their prayer life. They say, well, God, I never knew God never cared for me anymore anyway, and they go deeper and deeper and deeper into despair. And so what do? Well, they don't seek God for comfort. They seek drugs. They seek alcohol. They seek relationships. And that has become quite prevalent in churches today, quite prevalent. They try to even seek it in friendships, not even necessarily physical relationships, but friendships. And they try to overcome their despair with that. And the fact is, according to the first five verses, we have to realize that just as we did for salvation, that God's still the only answer for our despair, and he's the only comforter. And then many times we become selfish, as we looked at last Sunday night, about our problem we're going through, and especially dealing with the speaking to the Hilltoppers this morning in Sunday school, and just considering the life of Elijah as is considered in James, and how that he was a man of like passion as we are. And we sometimes think that the people in the Bible were these superheroes who never had any real life. And the Bible shows us very plainly that Elijah got depressed. He was discouraged. He was disappointed. He was afraid, and he fled for his life. And then he went and hid in the cave, and when God asked him what he was doing there, he basically said to God, you know, I'm the only one left in the whole of Israel that has any fire for you, any love for you. I have a great zeal for you. And God said, I have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee beside you. And so a lot of times we start looking at our problem as our own and not as something that God is using the comfort that he's given us to encourage others, or so that they can see him work. We get so inwardly focused that we don't realize people need to see God working in my life. I say I'm a believer. Now, in the time that I've been in the ministry, there have been plenty of people that would say this, and I was one of them before I went in the ministry, and it's this: well, you know what? Everybody else isn't affected like I am. Exactly. That's the exact right attitude to have. Everyone else is not as affected as you are. You are in this because God put you there for some reason. You don't have to know why. I don't have to know why, but I do know this, that as he works in you, people should see him and not you. Period. no matter what your problem is. And then this morning, we're going to look at this truth in verses number 13 through 18, that prayer is it's a relationship. It's not something we only use in our time of need. And I told the Hilltoppers as we're going through prayer in Sunday school, talking about prayer, I told them that the message in Sunday school is going to be very close to this. It kind of coincides with it. But prayer is an attitude. We see that right away in verse number 13 when he says these words, "But as for me." So what this sets him apart from however anyone else is going to respond. As a believer, as a follower of you, God, and again, let me reiterate that David did not have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in him, telling him this stuff that it was right. The Holy Spirit empowered him, but the Holy Spirit was not dwelling in him, giving him this understanding, because the Holy Spirit had not come to do that work yet. That was after Jesus had ascended to heaven. So here, David is responding by saying, "I have made a life choice. I'm not going to listen to what they say. I'm not going to listen and be controlled by my despair, my emotions. I'm not going to be stirred up. God, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do, but as for me, I'm going to do something different." Now, he's not the only one who said that. Joseph did that. He chose not to be bitter. And he lived his whole life not bitter. And he was done wrong many times over, not just his family. There were many times over he was done wrong, and yet he never got bitter. Joshua said that. "But as for me and my house, we're going to be different." So what is it that he's going to be different about? Well, "This choice I've made is my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time." When is the acceptable time? Today. Right now. Not as a last resort. Not as a crutch, as some people would say that we use it, but as a matter of fact, I'm in despair, and God, you're the one I'm going to pray to. And when I pray, all I'm doing is making an extension of my relationship with you. A person that does not have a relationship with God believes that prayer is a tool to manipulate God, when in fact, prayer is something that God has given us to further develop our relationship so that we'll begin to see things His way. Because the more I pray, I begin to pray that the Lord's will be done, because you know what I realize? I don't know what's good for me and what's not good for me. Romans chapter number 8, I don't. There's no person in this room that knows what the right thing to do tomorrow is. "Well, Brother Ron, I should get up and go to work." Okay, so what if you go to work and you're fired? What do you do then? A person that has a relationship with God knows that they've already prayed and said, "God, no matter what happens today, I want to see things your way. I want a relationship with you that yields peace and understanding. And God, I don't know what's going to happen today." I mean, no person in this room is guaranteed tomorrow. And no person in this room is guaranteed that their husband or wife or children are going to live tomorrow. What will you do? It better be a decision you made beforehand, before you get to the situation and start trying to cry out to God and really don't even know how to cry out to God. You have to have a relationship beyond just, let's say, reading your Bible. Prayer is an attitude that is chosen. It's something that you pray out for specifically, and that's what we're going to get into this morning about what a relationship prayer looks like. He specifically begins to cry out four things. So he says, "O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation." So he says, and we've looked at this before in other Psalms, where he cries out for mercy. Why? We need mercy and grace. We need understanding. We need, God, we need something that we cannot provide ourselves. We need you to show mercy to us. Why? You're the God of our salvation. You're the God of our peace. You're the God of our comfort. You're the only God who can not only deliver me, but you're the only one who understands. And not only do you understand, but I need the mercy that you extend. I need it. This cry is far, far away from, I got this. I can handle it. It's not a problem. It's like watching a team play any sport, and they call them a team, and they don't play like a team. So there's one guy, two guys that are the go-to guys, and then everybody else just does other stuff. Well, then a team that sees that there's only two guys comes along and plays those two guys, and the other guys don't know what to do. You go, well, Brother Ron, what does that have to do anything? Well, that's our spiritual walk, typically. We're walking along, do-de-o-do-do, do-de-o-do-do. We're walking along. Oh, despair hits because something bad has happened. Name it. I mean, despair can be caused by a multitude of things. It's not just by one thing. And it happens. And now you find yourself in this situation. And you know what you need more than anything is God's mercy in your life and God's help in your life and God's encouragement in your life. And it's not going to come from friends. It's not going to come from loved ones. It's only going to come from God. But that's a choice you had to make before you get here. Otherwise, you're going to be looking for it in other places and never find relief from despair. So specifically, he prays for mercy. Why? Everybody needs mercy. It does not matter what your despair is. Does not matter. Whatever your despair is, you need mercy. You need God's help. We need it, no matter what it is. The reason Christians flee and stop coming to church, stop associating with other Christians, is because they think that's the best way to deal with their pain. They don't want anybody to see it. The best way to deal with your pain is go to God specifically and say, God, I need your mercy. I can't deal with this. I have no ability. Verse number 14, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me. Neither let the deep swallow me up and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Tell God exactly what you want him to hear. He's very specific here. This isn't a, God, you know my need. This isn't a, God, you know, I'm not feeling good right now. You know, no. This is very specific. He says, this is how I feel. Deliver me out of the mire. Let me not sink because I'm getting ready to go down. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. The deep waters are the overwhelming, the waves that never seem to cease of being distraught and discouraged and in pain and disappointment. Listen, there are people here, no doubt, who have suffered in anguish in these areas. The way you deal with it is being specific and quit telling people you're okay. Because you're not. The greatest way to get people not to pray for you is tell them you're okay. I'm okay. Well, I guess they don't need prayer. Hey, I prayed for you this week. Oh, I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm making do. You know what that attitude comes from? It's the same attitude you have toward God. Because a real person that is really in communication with God, who's chosen an attitude of prayer, isn't trying to fake it till they make it. They're genuinely walking with God, and they're saying to God specifically, God, this is way over my head. I can't take it. I can't handle it. Men are especially good at this, especially good at saying, I got this. You know, trying to lift 300 pounds, one guy. There may be some guys in here who can do it. I'm not going to discount that. You know, I can think of a couple right now if I needed 300 pounds moved. And I couldn't help very much, I would get them to move it. Brother Johnson is not one of those people. No. His son may be, right? I doubt it. The truth is, and I know that's just weird for you, but so I also wouldn't go to Brother Johnson to ask him to help me get out of the deep mire. I'd ask him to pray for me. But you know who you can be really specific with? God. Not everybody needs to know every detail of your problem. I think we kind of get messed up there. We tell everybody else, but we rarely ever tell God exactly what we told our friends. The person that needs to hear is God. Why? Being specific with God, you go, well, Brother Ron, he knows. That's right, but he needs to know that you know that he knows. That just sounds ridiculous. No, no, no. It shows your attitude in prayer toward him. I personally, and you can take this however you want, I'm not speaking of anyone in particular. I am just not a person given to trusting, you know, just anybody. I have to know them well. This church kind of has that attitude. They give everybody the eye. But then once they have earned their trust, we're all like, yeah, come on in. Now, that's wise to be a little leery. But I can always trust God. I can tell him my deepest, darkest secrets, no matter what they are. When you stop yourself from doing that, when you prohibit yourself from being completely, just blatantly honest with God, not with everybody. Somebody came up with this idea in church that you need to tell everybody your problems. I'm telling you, man, when you offer a prayer request up, every detail is not necessary. The person who needs to know the detail is God. If you want to tell your closest friends, that's great. But folks, we have this idea, we've got it messed up, that people actually care as much as God. And I've heard preachers say it, and I've heard people in this church say it. People don't really care. They just act like they care. You're like, most of you are like, I care. I care. How dare he? If we don't care as much as God cares, we don't. We can't. We cannot relate. So when I'm speaking to God, when I have a deep, dark, horrible despair that's overwhelming, and you can say, well, I've never been there. As I've said before, you may have never been there, or you may have forgotten that you've been there, but you could go there at any moment. It's in every human being's nature to go into a dark place. It is. It's at that time we need to be crying out for mercy. It's at that time we need to be telling God specifically what it is. He actually says, you got to deliver me from those who hate my soul. You got to deliver me from the deep waters. You've got to deliver me from the overflow of water flood. You've got to deliver me from the deep. It's going to swallow me up. I mean, I don't know if you're hearing this, but he's in deep despair. It's anguish. It's hurting his soul. Now, I don't know what it is. And the important thing is, you don't have to know what it is. Here's what we do. We measure our despair by somebody is having despair over blah. And I don't know what it is. Just choose whatever you want to put there. Someone's going to say, well, I don't know what they're in such despair about. Why? Because people don't understand. Brother Brett and I can go through the same exact experience, and he and I could have exactly opposite responses. And God's not going to, Brother Brett's not going to understand me, and I'm not going to understand him. But you know who always does? God does. And I need to be specific. God, this is specifically what I'm feeling. We come down to the altar. We get ready to pray. It's easy to come down to the altar and get ready to pray and stop praying specifically because you're like, well, there's time. All right, go into your closet. That's why Jesus said, go into your closet. And pray to your Father who seeth in secret. Why? So that you know that he knows that you know that he's hearing you. And he cares. We've got to be specific. Prayer, when prayer is just something we do, we pray in generalities. We respond generally. So, and I'm just telling you, I'm not reprimanding or correcting. Some people get this idea. That's not what I'm doing. I'm observing. And you tell me if this is wrong. We may not hear everything about a prayer request. We're concerned about the prayer request. So we say this, and God, you know what Miss So-and-so or Brother So-and-so said. I didn't hear all of it. right? Now, is that because we don't care? No. It's because we generally aren't real good listeners, or we're in places where we can't hear. Either way, our prayer, when you're depending on others to pray for you, you need to, if they don't say your specific prayer request by name, don't think God didn't hear it. He did. See, when you're in despair, you need to believe that God wants to hear your deepest, darkest despair. This is not a feel good quick thing. This is a building a relationship with God in prayer, praying without ceasing, understanding that God knows things you don't know, and that you know things that He knows, but He wants to hear you say, I know you know this about how I've responded. I know you know this about my feelings. I know you know that I feel like I'm being overwhelmed. And here, He wants to hear this. And I don't know how much longer I can take it. I'll reiterate that suicide in churches has grown at a rate equal to suicides in the world. Equal to. And I say, very simply, David could have committed suicide at any time. He did some pretty bad things. Pretty bad. 70,000 men died one time that he did a bad thing. His son came and took over Jerusalem and did unspeakable things, killing his sons and killing his son and doing unspeakable things, burning down people's fields and all kinds of stuff. He had one son who then later tried to establish himself as king in the place of Solomon, who was meant to be the rightful king. I mean, David made a lot of bad decisions. I get his despair at times. Sometimes, because you've made such bad decisions, there's no one else to tell but God. It's time that we start being very specific. Not just, God, heal me. God, you know, the doctors don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm begging you to heal me. But if you don't heal me, would you just give me mercy so that I'll be ready for the task at hand? It's a relationship. It's beyond just praying when you need Him. It's praying in the acceptable time, because there's really no unacceptable time to pray. It's amazing. So, telling God exactly what He needs to hear us say. And then in verse number 16, hear me, O Lord, for Thy loving kindness is good. Man, couldn't we just stop there right there? Your loving kindness is good. And then he says this, turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Loving kindness and tender mercies are very similar. So in this verse, twice, he says, God, you know what I need? I need your tender mercies, because I need your tender mercies. Because you know what? I don't have hope outside of those tender mercies. And God, no matter what happens here, you're good. No matter what happens. No matter how this goes, you're good. No matter what's going on now, you're good. Listen, do you hear yourself sometimes saying, well, oh, God's good, but it's not giving you any relief? It's because you haven't let His loving kindness and His gentle, tender mercies reach you. You keep saying, no, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. If you're not okay, God knows you're not okay. You and I need His tender mercies. Verse 17, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. What we need more than anything in our lives is God's presence. Do you want peace? Do you want comfort? Do you want joy? Do you want mercy? If you're obedient to God, and if you respond to Him in the right manner in your despair, God is ready to pour upon you loving kindness, tender mercy, His very presence. knowing that his face sees what's going on in your life. You don't need to understand it. He does. You need to be ready for his comfort, for his compassion. It's there. It's accessible. It's not out of reach. It's ready to be claimed. He simply wants you to have a relationship with him that shows that not only is he, you realize he's the only one to go to comfort to, but you also understand that this is a life choice I've got to make. I'm going to have an attitude, a relationship with God where I'm going to go to him for mercy, and I'm going to go to him for grace, and I'm going to go to him for judgment. I'm going to go to him for these things in my life that I cannot, that I have not been able to generate. Therefore, when I'm trusting completely on him, then I am in his presence all the time, and he is in my presence. The worst thing in the world for a Christian is to feel like that God has forsaken them. Well, check this out. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. No matter how wicked you've ever been, he won't leave you or forsake you. He wants to hear you say, I need you more than I need anything else. I need you, God, your presence, your face. God, I need you to comfort. I need you to console. I need to know that you are there. Now, how are you going to do that? It's not magic, people. He's always there. Man, I don't get that. Then you have a relationship. I was teaching this morning. Brother Sam often says this. I told the Hilltoppers, one of the things he says all the time. He said, if you've ever heard me preach, you hear two things over and over. Read your Bible and pray. And then you're going to hear me the next time say, read your Bible and pray. And then it just seems like I'm just saying, read your Bible and pray. And you know the things that we don't do? The two most important things to a Christian life. We text. We Facebook, we Instagram, we go to places where people will listen to us, but we don't build a relationship. It's amazing when you read your Bible every day for the purpose of knowing God and knowing yourself. That's all you got to do. Know God, know yourself. Today, God, let me learn something about you. Let me learn something about myself. It's really all you need to pray. He will always reveal that. In the last few months, I've been reading in kind of, because I've been reading in different ways, I'm reading large chunks of scripture and I'm saying, God, please show me something about you today and show me something about me today. And as I'm reading these large chunks of scripture, you know what I'm learning more about? I'm learning more about God than I am about me. Because the more I know about God, the less I want to know about me. So it's not about me anymore. Well, I just don't have time to read the Bible. No, you have time to do a bunch of other stuff. It's time to read your Bible. Well, I just don't feel like reading my Bible. It's the only place you're going to build a relationship with God. The only place. He's not a mystical creature floating out there. Folks, his spirit is, if you're saved, his spirit is, and if you're unsaved, his spirit is not floating around in this room. He lives here. He's not waiting to descend on someone. No, no, no. He's even, if you're unsaved in here, he's even speaking to your heart going, hey, you don't even have a relationship with me. How could you ever come to me for any kind of mercy? You don't even know who I am. Or if you're not a reader of your Bible and you are saved, the Holy Spirit of God's going, you know that's important. You know that that's what you're supposed to be doing. Brother Ron, I never feel that kind of conviction. Then I would ask myself, am I one of his? Because we live in a society full of despair. Full of despair. And if we don't know how to deal with it, how will we teach others to deal with it? How can we say that Jesus Christ is the Savior and there's a promised home in heaven, and that when you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, He'll give you peace that passes all understanding. How can we say that if we don't believe it or live it? If it's not us, how? How do we say it? Well, Brother Ron, it's easy to say because I know what the Bible says. Right. The Bible's awesome. It is. But when you can say, I believe the Bible, I saw what the Bible said, and it helped me understand that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And the more I read the Word of God, the more faith grew in me. And as faith began to grow, I began to see things about God that I've never seen before. Or are you in such despair that you're focused on your moment? And let me reiterate, despair is for the moment. It's not forever. That's one of the approaches that is coming right out of this psalm. God can deal with it, so it's got to be a moment thing. Why do we live our lives in despair? I think this section of Scripture helps point out to us in the best way that it's because we don't have a relationship that says, oh no, prayer, that's what I'm going to do. But as for me, I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they tell me to do. I don't care what kind of drugs they say is going to cure this. What I know is the cure is God. Now look, I'm not talking about physical ailments like headaches and cancer and all that stuff. Don't. I'm talking about the where we've gone in our society specifically with psychological problems. I'm telling you, there's a reason that there was such demon activity and many people were surrendered. And I'm not calling people that have chemical imbalances that. I'm just saying, listen to me. We often depend so much on everything other than God that we never even go to Him. This has got to be a relationship. Can God cure anything? Yes. Will He? I can't say that. He can. If you pray 1,000 times a day, is He going to cure you? I can tell you this much. If you start praying and you start developing a relationship with Him in the Word of God, what you're going to find out is that this despair that you're going through, He's already dealt with. And He's ready to deal with it in you. But you have to develop a relationship that says, I want to do this. As for me, I don't care if my family doesn't do it. This is what I'm going to do. There are plenty of people in this room whose mom and dad did not raise them in church. Plenty of people. You weren't raised in church. You're different, though, than your family. Why? Because you said, but as for me, I'm going to become this. Why? Because I made a choice. Too long we've looked back at the past and blamed our despair on it, rather than coming to the present and saying, you know what? I have a relationship with God. God said He'd never leave me or forsake me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to choose an attitude. I'm going to choose it. I may not like what's going on. I may not like all of my despair, but I do know this. God's the only one who can help me through it, and I'm going to walk through it with Him. And the ultimate goal in this relationship is to see Him more than I see the floodwaters, more than I see the despair, the deep mire. I want to see God more than I see any of my trouble. It is why Jesus, when He reached down and pulled up Peter, just simply said, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you look at the winds and the waves?" He took His eyes off the only person who was going to help Him in that situation. And He was the one who said, "Lord, if it be You, bid me to come unto You." And Jesus said, "Come." When you and I keep our eyes in the right place and our focus and our attitude is in it, our solution is in God. God does amazing things in us. To the point that despair isn't so despairing after all when I see His face. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around.